Good morning. My name is Rob Kapaku, and I work with the young adults here at St. Luke's. Today's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly, with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings!" And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Happy Easter to you. It is so good to see you this morning. And before I even get into the message, I want to say a word of thanks to the people who have been making church possible since we have been in this virtual church reality. I want to thank, first of all, Brian Schnitz, our videographer, who has had so much put on his shoulders in these weeks. Also, I want to thank our media sound specialist, Daryl Cottrell, and also Alex Moon, our tech gurus, John Coons, Bruce Hill. They are the ones who are allowing us to still have church. So right now at home, would you give them a virtual expression of gratitude? Just clap right where you are. Give them a high five. I appreciate you doing that because we would not be doing this without them. I've received a few funny memes people have texted to me recently, some religious memes appropriate for this time right now. This first one's one of my favorites. It's the last Zoom, and you see Jesus sitting at an empty table, and the disciples are all joining by a Zoom meeting. And Jesus is telling everybody, okay, hello everyone, Judas, you on? And then another, the Sistine Chapel. Note the gloves, making sure that if Adam and God ever do touch, they'll be sanitary. Then this last one, a pastor in Minnesota, showing how to do an infant baptism in a socially distancing period. Well, we've got to laugh, don't we? I mean, who would have ever thought we would be in a situation like this on Easter Day? That we wouldn't have to have the hallways with the stanchions in them to direct our traffic flow or order extra donuts, or I know the one that's your personal favorite, redirecting the traffic flow in the parking lot. It's a different Easter this year. I spoke with a woman recently who I think captured it very well. She said, "Easter's just not going to feel the same. I'm going to miss being in the sanctuary and seeing the beautiful lilies, the great dogwood tree that Jim Morrow puts together. I'm going to miss hearing the organ with Michael playing and the orchestra and the choir singing, just everything that goes into Easter." And then she said this statement, "It's just not going to be like Easter this year." I understand. I mean, believe me, I of all people get that. I would much rather that you would be here listening to me right now instead of talking to a room full of empty pews. I get that. But if you'll stick with me for a few minutes, I hope that you might see that this Easter lends us a unique opportunity to understand the meaning of this day, maybe unlike any time ever. You know, God made you and me in a funny way. God made us with this capacity to experience the eternal, with a yearning to experience God. But the only way we can do that is in finite, limited ways. Now think about that for a moment. That the only way we can experience God is in places and with people who are not going to be around forever. And when something happens to the manner in which we experience God, well, it feels like something happens to God. I got a taste of this some years ago. I was serving a church where we built a new sanctuary right beside the old one. I had what I thought was a rather brilliant idea. I had read in our book of worship that there is a service of leave taking for a building. It's when you kind of decommission a sanctuary. Everybody gathers in the old space, they celebrate the ways God met them in that place, and then they take the symbols of worship from the altar and around the room, and you have a procession to the new place of worship. So the Sunday before our first in the new place, that Saturday night, we had a service of leave taking. It started out okay. People recalled happy memories. They remembered weddings, baptisms, confirmations, but then it turned heavy. People recalled funerals. They recalled the loved ones whose lives they celebrated in that place. Some people started remembering really the worst times in their lives and how God drew near to them in that room and gave them the strength to keep going, but the tears started flowing. And what I hoped was going to be a triumphal procession into the new room turned into like this trail of tears as people were just weeping openly. And it felt like folks were saying, why do we have to go there? Why can't we stay here? And I learned something pretty important about humanity that day. That when you take away the manner in which we experience God, it feels like you take God away. And yet, God being taken away is oddly enough where the Easter story begins. If you could go to the absolute best location in the world to worship on Easter Sunday, could there be a better one than the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem? And not just today going to that place, but imagine if we could be there on the first Easter morning, the very morning that Jesus rose from the grave. Could there be a better location? Let's just imagine that we could do that, that we could travel back through time, travel all that distance, and follow the women to the tomb and see the stone rolled away and the angel sitting on it. What does the angel say as the first pronouncement of Easter? He is not here. What? I came all this way, and you tell me he's not even here? No. He's risen. God refuses to be isolated. God cannot be quarantined. In many ways, that's been the consistent message throughout the Bible. Go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Talk about a place to experience God. Think about the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve could speak with God face to face, but then they messed it up. They disobeyed. They were quarantined from the garden. And yet there, they made a wonderful discovery. God was also outside of the garden. They didn't have to be just in the garden to experience God. God met them outside and promised to keep looking after them and take care of them. God called Abraham to leave his home and go to a place called Canaan. And there, God would use him to form a great nation of people, and God would dwell with them in the land. But then something happened. A famine came, and the people had to leave and go to Egypt, and they got quarantined there. Pharaoh made them slaves for 400 years. You think the past month has been hard to be quarantined? Imagine 400 years. But there in their quarantine, they made a great discovery. They cried out to God, and God heard them. They didn't have to be back in Canaan to be heard. God heard them in their quarantine in Egypt. God cannot be limited. Even when they go down to the Red Sea, their back is against the wall. They see no way forward, nowhere to go. And then God parts the sea. They were stuck. God was not. In the wilderness, Moses receives the Ten Commandments, and the people put the tablets in a box called the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant became a symbol of God's presence. Wherever the Ark was, God was there. God was with them. No one could defeat them as long as they had the magic box, until they were defeated. And one day they watched the Philistines carry the Ark away, and it felt like God had been captured, until one day two oxen drawing a cart carrying the ark returned to Israel. They discovered God can't be carried away. The people took the ark to Jerusalem. They built a temple around it, a mighty building that symbolized God's presence, because God promised to dwell with them in that place. And one day the Babylonians showed up and leveled the temple to the ground and took everything in the temple along with the people back to Babylon. The Bible says the people sat down by the rivers of Babylon and wept, for how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? What did they mean? God isn't here. God isn't with us. We would have to go back to Jerusalem for God to be there. But the prophet Ezekiel came and showed the people a vision of a chariot in the sky in which the wheels turned in all four directions, north, south, east, west. What was the prophet telling the people? God is everywhere. God was coming to them. God can't be exiled. One day, God would come in the form of his own son, who would heal people, who would bring people back from the dead. But some people said to him, God can't be quarantined in the body of a man. You must retract your words and say that you're not the Son of God, otherwise we'll crucify you. But he wouldn't do that. And he was crucified. And he died and was buried. Now, before going forward, let's pause right there for a moment. Let's think about that word, buried. Theologian Karl Barth, in his book Credo, talks about the word buried in the Creed. He says, by a person's being buried, it's evidently confirmed and sealed that one has no longer a present any more than a future. That person has become pure past. And the future toward which all humanity is running is just this: to be buried. Boy, that's uplifting for Easter Day, isn't it? It's not uplifting. But you know it's true, don't you? You know everything one day gets buried. These Easter lilies behind me, before long, they're going to fade. They're going to be buried. All of the appliances in your home are going to one day stop working. They're going to be buried. These bodies of ours will one day stop breathing. They will be buried. What does it mean to be buried? It means something is no longer humanly possible. It means that we no longer have options, that we've come to the end of our ability. By our power, we are hopeless to change a situation. Have you ever been buried? Isn't that when we say, "He's not here"? God isn't here. Isn't that when we feel most abandoned by God, when we feel buried, when we can't change our situation, when we can't seem to get out of whatever is holding us back? God isn't here. But the hope of Easter is that even in that place, the place of hopelessness, God shows up. In Paul Tillich's book of his sermons, The Shaking of the Foundations, he tells about a scene at the Nuremberg war criminals trial following World War II. A Jewish man who had escaped the gas chamber came to the witness stand. He told about stumbling upon a Jewish cemetery and found that other people were taking refuge in open graves. He said they lived in the graves for some time, and he would spend his time in the grave writing poetry. One poem talked about a birth that occurred in a grave. He could hear a woman in a nearby grave give birth to a son, and when he heard the first cries of the son, he wrote these words, "Great God, could this be the Messiah? For who else than the Messiah can be born in a grave?" Oh, wow. That is an Easter question, isn't it? That is an Easter question for the ages. For who else than a Messiah can be born in a grave? Yes. Even in a grave, God can meet us and give new life possibilities to us and to our world. Hear this good news. He's not here. He's risen. He's with you right now. God cannot be confined to any specific location. God is not limited to any individual experiences. God isn't limited by any human boundary. He's with you right now. I know it doesn't always feel like it, does it? Sometimes we wonder, "God, where are you?" It feels right now like you are not here. You're not here in my quarantine. You're not with me when I can't care for a loved one in the hospital. You're not with me in this news that I've lost my job. You're not with me in my sickness and my grief and my fear. If that's how you've ever felt, then hear the rest of the good news of the angel. When the angel says he's not here, it really means we don't understand God's presence with us. But even better, he's not here, he's risen as he said, and he's going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will find him. What was Galilee? Galilee was where the disciples were from. Galilee was what life looked like when it got back to normal. It's where they fished. It's where they went home to their families at night. It's where they lived. It's normal life again. And that's God's promise to you today. He will get us back to that place. We don't see him right now, but he's already gone ahead of you. And as you trust in that which you do not always see and feel, just believe, he's going to get us back to that place. And there we will see him. A family in our church, Barry and Margaret Wood, have certainly had a tough season of late. Their only child, their son Michael, was planning to be married this next weekend, but because of what this coronavirus reality has meant, they've had to postpone their wedding. All of the plans and the getting ready now has been put on hold. Within a few days of that, Margaret learned that her mother passed away. Her mom and dad had been married for 73 years. They enjoyed a wonderful life together. They left Margaret such a beautiful example of a couple who loved God and were devoted to God and to each other. And it made the time even more difficult because they can't celebrate her life in a manner that they would like to. They had to gather with no more than 10 people for a very, very small funeral. And within a few days of that event, Margaret got another call. She learned that her dad had passed away. She sent me this text the other day, and I want to share it with you. My faith has provided comfort with the absolute certainty of knowing my parents are with our Lord in a better place. Also, I know good always comes out of hard times. Sometimes you have to look, and sometimes it's obvious. I have felt so lifted up and loved by what I've been referring to as my earth angels. There should be a song, and she put a smiley face. It is obvious God wants us to be in community with others. I'm feeling the urge and need to be better aware and there for other people. Pay it forward. I'm at peace. What a gift in a time of sadness. Wow. I'm at peace? What a gift? In a time when it would be so easy to say, God, with all of this happening to me, where are you? But her relationship with Jesus Christ gives her a faith that is beyond her feelings. It gives her a confidence that, yes, God is present, even though it may feel like he's not here. And he is going ahead of her. He's going ahead of her in the knowledge that there will be a day when she'll be joined again with her mom and dad. There will be a day she sees them again. There will be a day she celebrates the marriage of her son with family all around. She'll get back to Galilee, and she knows there God will be with her. Do you need to know that today? Oh, there are times when it feels he's not here, but know this, he is risen. He is with us wherever we go. And he's guiding us and he's going ahead of us. One of the greatest preachers in Methodist church history is a man named William Sangster. He died back in the 1960s. His career was cut short because of cancer. It took his vocal cords. On the first Sunday, he was not preaching. He was at home. His daughter had come to help look after him. She got up early, went down the stairs, and saw that he was already up. He was staring out the front window watching the sun come up. She could only imagine what he was thinking. She said, Dad, I can imagine today's very hard. He turned around and shook his head. He looked for a pad of paper and grabbed a pencil and started writing a note and took the note and handed it to her. The note said, "It is a tragedy not to be able to wake up on Easter morning and shout, 'He is risen.' But what a greater tragedy it would be to have the voice and not the desire to shout it." Oh, may you not only have the desire, but the conviction to know that He is risen and He's already going ahead of you. We're going to close the message and the service with a beautiful song called Waymaker. And it talks about God's power to make a way when we don't always see that ability. And you're going to see a number of folks in the St. Luke's Church sharing testimonies. On one side of a piece of cardboard, they're going to talk about some description of their quarantine, some challenge they're facing. And on the other side, a statement of their Easter hope and faith. So let's listen.
You are here,
Oh, gracious God, I choose this day to open my life to you as best I know how, and to simply say, Lord, come inhabit this life of mine. Breathe your spirit into me. I get tired, I get weak, I get frail, I get afraid. I worry about the future, and I worry about my ability to handle it all. But my hope is not about my power to survive these things, gracious God. It's about your power to give me strength to face them. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me. I invite you all over again, or maybe for the very first time, to be my Lord and Savior, in Christ's name. Amen.